This episode is brought to you by NordVPN. Listen up, nerds. No. Good evening, Mr. and Mrs. America, from border to border and coast to coast and all the ships at sea.
What?
Hello, friends. Do you have a computer? Of course you do, because it's not 1987. Hell, you're listening to this on some kind of computer right now. But do you have a VPN?
Oh,
what's a VPN, you ask? Well, my friend, a VPN is a virtual private network and it offers two key benefits: enhanced privacy and security online. But VPNs do a lot more than that. VPNs shield your IP address, change your browsing location, and make online life easier. It's all about safety and security, my friends. But like everything else in life, it's also about watching TV. Don't let your paid subscriptions go to waste. I use NordVPN to access my home content while I'm traveling. Wink, wink. Plus, secure your connection on public Wi-Fi in airports, hotels, cafes, anywhere you go when you're traveling. There's over 6,300 servers in 111 countries, and you can find a nearby server for the best VPN speeds. NordVPN is easy to use. Connect with one click or enable auto-connect for zero-click protection. And it's got amazing speed. NordVPN is one of the fastest VPNs out there. And with just one NordVPN account, you can use it on 6 devices. It supports every major platform: Windows, Android, iOS, macOS, Linux, even Android TV. I think those are all real. Don't miss out on all the awesome benefits for using a VPN. Go to nordvpn.com/ifanboy today for a risk-free 30-day money-back guarantee. The link's in the show notes. Once again, that's nordvpn.com/ifanboy.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. You ever feel like you really need to get something off your chest? This is like a real thing. Like, if you're mad, if you're upset, if there's something going on, like there's often for me an idea. Maybe it's a wrong. Maybe it's a moment. It's an injustice. It's something that just you keep going on and on, over and over in your mind about it, and like that can create anger and resentment or shame, whatever it is. And very often, I have found, I am not a therapist, I have found that when you let it out, when you give it voice, when you say it out loud, sometimes it makes you feel better because you've expressed it. And sometimes it makes you realize like, oh, this is not a big deal, but it's been stuck in my head. So you give voice to those things, and it can make you feel a lot better. And shock of all shocks, therapy is one of those things that can help you do that. It can help you be able to say those things in a place where you don't need to worry about the repercussions of it, work your way through it, figure out coping skills, how to get around it, you know, find ways to deal with that stuff instead of letting it fester. If you are thinking of starting therapy, if anything I said sounds familiar, you're like, oh, maybe my life would be a little better if I could deal with that kind of thing, you should give BetterHelp a try. It's fully online. It is convenient, flexible. It is suited to your schedule. That's the idea. That's what they're going for. You can fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist. That's a big deal. You can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. That personal connection, I believe, to be super important. Again, I'm not a professional. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/ifanboy today. You get 10% off your first month. That is BetterHelp, HELP.com/ifanboy.
You are listening to a special edition iFanboy podcast on Thor. Welcome to a special edition iFanboy podcast on the film Thor. My name is Connor Kilpatrick, and I'm here with Ron Richards.
Hello.
And Josh Flanagan.
I feel like that title needs to have more in it. Thor.
Yeah, I know. It's like Thor, God of Thunder. Thor is just so short and sweet and simple.
A mighty Thor.
Something. Yeah.
And I kind of feel bad when you said hello to me. I should have said something like Verily or Good Day. Good day, my brother.
Methinks.
Yeah, methinks.
Tis a good day to podcast.
Methinks so, Verily.
I don't plan to die today.
We are at fanboy.com, and normally we talk about comics, but occasionally we talk about the comic book movies that come out. This is a big summer for comic book movies. We haven't had one yet, have we?
No.
Remember.
Oh, that's a very good question. Was there one earlier this year?
Big one.
Yeah, this is the first big one. I mean, this summer is ridiculous, but I think this kicks off the summer series. How's that?
We have Thor. We're going to have Green Lantern. We're going to have Captain America. We're going to have X-Men.
We had the Green Hornet back in January.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah. This is the summer that follows up from the 2008. This is how long it took them to turn everything around and put out new movies.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. So in 2012 or 11, we'll get some more. Oh, this is 11. Fuck.
Yeah, dude. No, 2004.
Wow. What year is it? How old am I?
I have no idea. But so, yeah, so this kicks off a summer of 5 comic book movies.
Correct.
Yes. So
this is the first big major entry into the summer season. This is the first Marvel film we've had since Iron Man 2.
Yep.
This is the next in the series of in-continuity films leading up to the Avengers. This one is the most recent and probably going into it the most question marks.
I think it was the one that at least personally for me, I thought had the most opportunity to fumble.
I was sure this summer that this would flop, and I'm obviously already going to be – I feel like I'm wrong about that already.
Yeah, it hasn't even opened, and it's already made $100 million. No. But I thought this was the one because the thing was is that like Iron Man was accessible. It was, you know, it was a rich guy, defense contractor in a suit, you know, it was kind of Robert Downey Jr. and had a big star, Jon Favreau, you know, like all this sort of, it had a lot of things going for it. While Thor, it's like, while Lord of the Rings did great in the movie theaters, it was like, I wasn't sure if audiences would take the whole Norse god thing. And it also depended on how heavy they were with the Norse god stuff. Like if they, that was my big question, like if the whole movie was all, you know, celestial and fighting and Narnia-esque and that sort of thing. You know, I wasn't sure if people would do it, but when I saw that second trailer and I saw a lot of Natalie Portman and a lot of Earth and a lot of, you know, kind of, I saw a balance between the Norse gods and like the Earthbound stuff. And I said, okay, maybe this might work. That was going into it. That was my thought.
Yeah, so that was definitely, I mean, Thor is, I wrote about it in my review of the film, is Thor is unusual. He's not just a superhero. He doesn't just put on a suit and fight crime. He's a god. So as Ron said, he's going to have dealings in his unearthly realm as well as the earthly realm. So how do you balance that? How do you keep it from being too, you know, Thor can be too much at times with the flowery language and the dealings in the court and then the machinations behind the scenes of the throne. You know, that can be too much for the general audience, which is what you have to have for these films to be successful. But we saw the trailers. We were excited. We saw the film this week. What did we think?
You know, I actually began to perk up a lot, I think, around the time that you start to see the first reviews come in. You know, people are starting to be overwhelmingly positive. And I was like, oh, that's good. And by the time I got to the theater, I was thinking, boy, I hope I get that Iron Man 1 feeling again. Like I was
really, that's what they're trying to recapture, right? Because the Iron Man sequel, while made a lot of money, didn't capture anyone's imagination.
Yeah.
No, and especially not the director.
And Hulk did okay in the box. I was Hulk. Also... Didn't capture it. I enjoyed Hulk.
Hulk is the forgotten Marvel film. Nobody mentions it.
I feel like it's really, and it's really underrated because I really did enjoy it. I really enjoyed it.
The heck out of it. But again, like Iron Man, it wasn't a film people talk about Iron Man all summer.
Yeah.
We still talk about Iron Man.
And Iron Man 2 came and went. People saw it and didn't really talk about it anymore. Hulk came and went. So really, I think Marvel was probably looking to recapture that buzz to find out, was Iron Man a fluke? Mm-hmm. And I think with Thor, we find out Iron Man was not a fluke.
It was not a fluke, no. I mean, and it was funny that Josh mentioned that going into it, you're hoping for that Iron Man 1 feeling. Walking out of it, that's definitely what I had. That's definitely what I felt. I felt that energy and excitement and that, oh, God, that was cooler than I thought it could ever be.
Josh, did you know that feeling too, or did you not?
Not to that extent. I liked it more after the fact that I thought about it. I think that one of the things that was different about Iron Man for me is that I walked out of Iron Man and I thought that was pretty much flawless, whereas in Thor, there were a couple of things that did bother me. But one of the things that I really did like about Thor, I mean, overall, I really enjoyed it. I think I predicted it would be like a B+, and I would probably give it about that. I thought the cast was very strong, especially a lot of the supporting cast. I think Loki was the key to that movie.
Oh, Loki was fantastic.
And Loki was fantastic. If he hadn't have been, if he had played it, Tom Hiddleston, I think is the name?
Yeah.
If he had played it any differently, then it becomes an entirely different movie. Where if he played Loki like an evil person, but he left it so ambiguous, as he should have been. He's the trickster. You know, like we don't really know where we stand with him. Was he doing it all for one reason? Who's he lying to? What is he? And that, to me, was the linchpin of the whole thing. And Thor himself, I think that the big challenge, I think, is to make Thor look like something that is believable. And it's so hard because if you remember, you know, for years people would play cast the Thor And Dolph Lundgren was always the person they say, and they name a bunch of wrestlers, none of whom can act, which is a really big deal about it. Now the thing is, you get a little bit of leeway with Thor because he's a little goofy, especially, and I think they play that up in the first part of the movie where he's just like, "I am Thor, I'm the best," you know, and I think that Hemsworth did that part really well. And also, I can't think of a movie that did male cheesecake quite to the extent of this movie for a while, and I have no problem with that. It totally made sense, you know. And they're trying to get a bigger audience, but he looked the part. He certainly was nice and big.
I have no problem with Hemsworth at all. I thought he was great. I mean, I know a lot of people had a problem with some of the dye jobs, you know, like the hair and the eyebrows and the beard and all that. But like, I totally didn't care.
Great
and
beard.
A lot of people were worried about the accent and stuff like that. I thought everything worked on every level, and actually,
I heard the Australian accent a couple times when he yelled.
Yeah,
I heard it out.
Yeah. But Connor and I were actually talking about this. What I thought was the secret weapon of this movie was two things: was the humor, way funnier than I had thought going into it, and even like both stuff happening on Asgard as well as on Earth. You know, like Heimdall made me laugh. You know what I mean? Really? Like there was that one scene when he helped the Warriors three, and he's like, "All right, well then," you know, like it was just like there was this tinge of personality to nearly every character that, you know, that did make you, you know, laugh out loud, like cracking up, but like there are things that made you just made me kind of chuckle and that sort of thing because it worked.
Really fine line.
Yeah.
And I think they walked that really well.
Yeah.
I think the vibe, I totally had the Iron Man vibe coming out of it too, and I'm still deciding if I liked it more than Iron Man, it's up there, is the fact that it retained the fun vibe.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying
Iron
to get
Man,
to.
Iron Man, the first film, was so much fun.
Yep.
It was an action movie, but it was funny the whole time through. You could tell that Robert Downey Jr. was having a blast. You could tell that Tony Stark was having a blast.
Yep.
And as a result, you had a blast. And I think in this film, Thor's having a blast. Even when he's upset, he's still kind of fun.
Yeah, you're right.
And you're right. This was much funnier than I thought it would be.
Oh yeah, no.
I think that was the real key to the film. It's because you don't get caught up in the dour machinations of Loki trying to steal the throne from Odin. You want to keep it light, even so that the light elements prop up the dark elements, and vice versa.
Yep. And I think the other aspect of it that, you know, I think that the humor and the fun of it was great, but also, and then, you know, Connor, you made the reference in your review on the site on ifanboy.com. This felt like Thor the Mighty Avenger, the Roger Langridge, Chris Somney book. This felt like that come to life. The scenes on Earth with him and Natalie Portman, like they had chemistry.
Yep.
Like that, it was palpable, and it was like, and they played that, and I don't know if that's because Natalie Portman is an Academy Award winning actress and she's so good at it, or whether she really did want to jump Hemsworth's bones, or what, you know, who knows.
I kind of wanted to jump his bones.
Yeah, exactly. But like there were scenes where like that chemistry was there and it worked and it was really believable. And like,
I think it was I said in the review, I think it was the best. We've had the Tony Pepper, and we had the Bruce Betty. And I think this of the three, this was the best, most believable of the romances.
Yeah, totally agreed. And you know, and that combined with the humor and the stuff on Earth was great. I mean, Thor on Earth was hysterical at times, and
The word that I used was charming. I thought it was very charming, in that classic sense where I don't know, they just kind of charmed me and actually got past some of the elements that I think would have not worked. If it didn't have that part. And I don't know if that's because Natalie Portman is a great actor as much as she is. I mean, she, like, it depends on the role, but she's kind of herself, her playing herself. We've seen that lots of times, but there's something very, you know, appealing about it, obviously.
Yeah, I thought she was great. Also, Kat Dennings stole scenes. I thought she was great, actually. And I actually heard apparently she tested so well in test audiences that they put more of her in the movie.
She's the comic relief character.
Yeah, exactly.
But I thought, you know, like the physical comedy, I thought when they, you know, they go back to find Thor in the hospital and he's gone, they go to, we got to find him, and they back up right into him. And the way that was staged, where he appeared in the back, he sort of looks at them really quickly and they run him over again.
Yep.
was perfectly staged. And then for me, the joke of the film was when he barged into the pet store looking for a horse.
Yes, that was very funny.
Barring a horse, a big dog.
Well, actually, the thing that made me laugh the most, which was something that Josh missed it, and it was towards the end did we do a spoiler warning? We need to do a spoiler warning. Spoiler, right. Yeah, but we're talking about what happened in the movie, yada yada. But so at the end of the movie, when Thor and the Warriors 3 and Sif are going to leave Earth and go back to Asgard, and they're saying goodbye, and he's talking, and he turns to Agent Coulson from S.H.I.E.L.D., and he goes, "Son of Cole, I am your ally." And like, yes. I laughed out loud because he called him Son of Cole. Because that was such a clever, like, Coulson. Yeah. Yeah, okay, that makes sense. Like, the bridging of the Asgardian way and the, you know, American way was rife with humor, and I thought they played it just enough that it wasn't dorky or goofy, but it was believable and the thing is, like, you know, for half the movie, the first half of the movie, you know, Natalie Portman and Kat Dennings and Stellan Skarsgård are sitting there with their jaws agape because they don't know what they've stumbled upon. But, you know, so
the quick plot summary is Thor is the heir to the throne of Asgard, but he's an arrogant jerk.
So greedy.
Odin sends him down to Earth powerless without his hammer. He enchants the hammer with the famous enchantment that whosoever shall be worthy can possess the power of Thor. And he wants to teach him humility, so he's powerless on Earth. Meanwhile, without Thor to protect him, Loki makes his play for the throne in Asgard. So those are the two parallel stories. One is Thor finding the path to not being a jerk, and Loki trying to take over the throne of Asgard. And those two storylines, of course, collide, as all parallel storylines do, which would make them parallel, but you know what I mean. And so then, you know, that's basically the gist of the movie. And I thought the pacing of that worked really well. I thought you got just enough time on Earth, then you get right back to Asgard, and then you came back to Earth, and you got back to Asgard, and you got slowly they inched closer together. I think that really worked really well.
As far as set pieces go, I thought that it was – they really set up what Asgard was about very quickly. And then before you had time to get bored, they were like, we need them to fight somebody. So they sent them to Jotunheim. And so you have a big fighty action sequence, which was, for my taste, a little too quick cutty. Like, I was like, okay, what can't count? You know, maybe that it had something to do with the 3D.
Yeah, I think that gets into the one only criticism I have for the movie is the 3D. And just the fact that, and Josh, you made the comment, which totally made sense to me, was that the 3D adds a level of darkness to the movie. Like, it made the screen that much darker. And those scenes in Jotunheim were, because they're already dark, being frosty and all that kind of stuff, it was hard to see what was going on.
Yeah, and you can't, like, if you take the glasses off and you look, the brightness and colors on the screen are exactly what they should be, but then I'm basically putting on sunglasses.
Yeah.
And so, you know, everything was sort of dulled down a little bit. And when you got to those Jotunheim scenes, you know, you can go see it in 3D or 2D. I didn't see any benefit to seeing it in 3D.
Yeah, the thing about 3D is that I don't think it was, no, like, oh my God, it's in 3D, but then it wasn't like, oh, it's getting in the way. Like, it never got in the way.
I don't like it. I don't know anybody who's like, I can't wait for more 3D. I've never heard that from anybody.
Yeah.
Well, when Step Up 4 comes out.
Yeah, exactly. Step Up 3D was awesome.
So I thought, you're right. I think the cast was fantastic. I thought Branagh did a good job keeping the pace. I like the actual look the way he shot it. It was a lot of canted angles.
That was the one thing, is that towards the end of it, I was like, wow, can he, you know, the camera's diagonal every time it's on Natalie Portman. And like, there was a lot of diagonal. I noticed it towards the end.
You know, it was one of the things that when we're talking about 3D is that I had a hard time when we were in Asgard. Like, I couldn't tell if it looked bad or if that was just 3D. Like, I couldn't tell if it was bad matting or looked like it was a big CG thing behind them. It was hard to tell, I think, from time to time. But as far as, like, you know, the way that the hammer worked and the fighting and the stuff, that all seemed to work pretty well as far as effects and things like that. The twirls were good.
The first time he was spinning Mjolnir against the Frost Giants and shooting ice at them, I was like, oh, that's so cool. And the thing was, I thought Thor would fly a lot more than he did.
Yeah, I think it was good that he didn't.
Yeah, because every time he did, it was like awe-inspiring.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One of the things I really liked is that we've seen the hammer for years in the comic books, but they really played up the impact of it when it would hit somebody or be thrown at somebody, the speed of it, the force of it, the sound of it, all those things. And I thought that was something that really needed to be sold well, and it was sold really well.
Yeah.
You know,
really, I think, and then conversely, I think one thing I think they were really afraid of and downplayed the helm, which I think was a mistake.
That was the only thing my only negative, literally my only negative point in the film is I wanted him to wear the helmet more.
Yeah.
He
wore it in the opening scene and that was it.
The suit was pretty good though.
The suit looked great. The suit was awesome.
I think the stills did a little bit of a disservice to the Asgardian.
They always do. Yeah. The stills always do a disservice to the stills. Yeah. You always have to see them in motion.
I liked the sort of general design of Asgard, and everything was huge.
I loved the art direction of Asgard. It was one of my favorite parts of the movie. I was talking to somebody after the film came out, after we came out of the film, that it felt like the first time we really truly saw a Marvel film.
Yeah.
Like the scope of it and the art direction and the way Asgard looked, it really felt epic.
Yeah.
You know, Iron Man was great, but it was very small and focused, which was good. I think it needed to be.
It's
huge. It's like a huge canvas to play on, and I liked that a lot. Asgard felt like a Kirby drawing. This huge vistas and the, you know, the stars come and the big buildings and the costumes. Yeah. It really felt like that.
And I felt like, you know, this great mash of Kirby and Simonson, and like it really had a lot from Thor comics of the past. One thing is that when we first saw the Rainbow Bridge, I was like, oh.
I loved it.
But hang on, let me finish my thought. When I first saw it, I was like, oh, but by the end of the movie, I loved it. I thought it was perfect.
I started to see the sort of prisms of it going through that, I was like, it is a rainbow bridge. They're going with that, but it's something that works. Because if it had been a, you know,
literal rainbow,
gay pride, streak of colors, it would have been goofy looking. But it was like a neat way to do it. And there's that edge of the world. I mean, for me, one of the real, real high points was the Rainbow Bridge and the Bifrost and Heimdall over there.
Totally.
It was funny because one of the earliest controversies about the movie was everyone was like, can Heimdall be black? And it was like, that wasn't even close to an issue.
Yeah,
like
he was fantastic.
Yes, he bought it 100%. He was both completely stoic and also just a little bit wry, and it was a lot of fun to watch.
There was no problem with Heimdall being black, as just as there was no problem with Hogan being Asian.
Yeah,
you know, like it just everything worked. I thought Heimdall was great. I thought I found humor in him. Like that was, you know, like there were a couple of moments where he laughed. I love the Bifrost. I thought that was so cool. I love the cross section of science and magic and how they give a plausible reason that this exists in the world from
that
a scientific
was very
standpoint.
Well explained.
Exactly.
Yeah, I really liked that.
And I liked that by the time at the end when the frost giants invade Asgard and he's been frozen. And he's on the bridge, but you can slowly see the ice cracking. And I was just like, break out of that, I'll kick their asses.
Yeah.
And he did.
I love the idea that he sees everything all the time. And
he's like the Watcher.
They represented that really well,
yep.
I thought. And they used it correctly, and it was good.
And so the Warriors 3, what do we think of them?
They were good. I mean, they were comic relief. They were fun. I really enjoyed them when they came to Earth the most.
Yes, that was hysterical. Like when they were knocking on the door, and that was.
I thought that was a really good example of why superhero costumes and stuff look goofy in real life. Yeah. Like it was just, and if they were supposed to, they were playing it in that way. I was fine with them. I didn't buy what's his name, Ray Stevenson, so much.
You didn't
he like a big, tall, thin dude with a belly patch. I think it would have been funnier if they had like a really rotund guy.
Yeah,
like, his just beard looked kind of fake, and he just looked like he was playing a character. I was buying him, I guess.
Yeah,
I like the character a lot, though.
I like Sif a lot. She was really
Sif
good.
Was good. Yeah,
was good.
You know who I love the destroyer and the destroyer scene.
Yes,
that the was destroyer great. Such a great design and such a cool like that sound.
Yep,
it was an awful sound. You didn't even want to hear it.
Yeah,
but that sort of like that when he opened it. His helmet, and it's that hollow, you know, it comes up from within. And
all I gotta say is I just did not want to own a car in that movie.
That destroyer does not like cars. I was totally having like the jerk moment. Yeah. I was like, he hates these cars.
Can you stay away from the cars?
Let's talk about fan service moments. Yeah. I believe we briefly saw the Eye of Agamotto in the trophy room.
Yep.
There, and then there's, of course, the Hawkeye cameo in the middle, which.
Not my Hawkeye.
It was Clint Barton. It was Clint Barton. It was Hawkeye, my friend.
Gosh, that is Hawkeye. He's your Hawkeye.
Yeah.
So when the S.H.I.E.L.D. agents find Mjolnir, you know, in the crater, and they set up camp around it, and when Thor goes in to get it back, Agent Coulson makes a call, and a guy goes to grab a gun, but then pauses and grabs the bow and arrow and runs up into a crow's nest, and Coulson goes to him on the walkie-talkie and says, "Talk to me, Barton." And I thought it would have been cooler if he had something purple.
If he had done anything.
something purple or like a bolt, something to tie him to the comics, but it was just Jeremy Renner. That's all.
Yeah,
it was.
He was a little bit funny.
Yeah.
Like, you know, he wasn't laughing a lot funny, but he was like, yeah, I'm starting to root for this guy. Like it was, I thought for the brief amount of time he had on screen, did a good job of kind of establishing a character.
Only problem with it was that it served no point because he didn't do anything. So like they sent him up there, and if you didn't know who he was, you didn't know what was going on, you're like, why did we just spend 5 minutes with this guy who didn't do anything? Like it was a weird choice. It was just like a fan service for the sake of it, but they hung on him a lot longer than a lot of those kind of things do.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it wasn't, I mean, I guess it was a cameo, but he was in it for, it was like a good couple of minutes.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And like, he didn't do anything. He didn't do anything. Yeah. He didn't get a chance to show off that he was an amazing archer. You're just like, so why has that guy got a bow? Like, yeah. And I'm trying to think of it from the point of view of somebody who doesn't know.
Right.
It didn't establish.
Yeah, but he wasn't there for people who didn't know. He was there for you.
You specifically, Josh.
Yeah, specifically.
And despite rumors and despite the giant display last year at San Diego Comic-Con, there was no Infinity Gauntlet in the film.
Yep. Yeah, we heard it was edited out.
Really? For some reason.
Yep.
Which is interesting. And then the big one is the post-credit sequence, which they came back to because they got in Hulk, moved it to the front of the credits because everybody got pissed off about Iron Man.
Yeah.
And did Iron Man 2 have one? It must have.
Yeah, it was the hammer.
Oh, you're right. That was actually a post-credit sequence. So
used in this movie.
So in the post-credit sequence this time, we have the Doctor, the
Skarsgård. Skarsgård.
Who's now hooked up with S.H.I.E.L.D. and they brought him to the compound. And he talks to Nick Fury about their newest acquisition. And it's the Cosmic Cube, which I did not see coming.
I didn't see that coming. And B, you also forget the moment that we see in the reflection Loki. Yep.
And that was the cool part about it. The Cosmic Cube, whatever. But the Loki part.
Loki has seemed to have embodied the Doctor.
Yep.
He's possessed. That I like.
Which means Loki is the fun thing is I have no clue where they're going with the story.
None.
Because it looks like they're setting up Loki to be the bad guy in the next film, but maybe they're not. Or in the Avengers film, but maybe they're not. They could do a lot of things. But the funniest thing about that was, and this is even worse than Hawkeye. After the credits played, after the scene played, the lights came up, and behind me somewhere, two guys. One guy number one goes, "What was that?" Guy number two goes, "Cosmic Cube." Long beat. Guy number one. What's a cosmic cube?
That's kind of what I thought too.
But yeah, like there was that was the most insidery one we've had. Like
absolutely,
made more sense. This one, there was no explanation at all. You had to know what that was.
Yeah, and that again, it was fan service for the fans, and we know what it was, and so you know, so it's like, oh man.
Man, for 40,000 people, that was really a treat.
You know, and that's the thing is that if Loki is the villain in the Avengers movie. That ties into the Avengers origin. So,
well, right, yeah. Because Loki sort of gets the team together. This night, he may not necessarily be the villain, but he'll have something to do with the forming of the team. So, Connor, you had one complaint.
It was just that has
already been addressed. Ron, are you 100% behind this in every way?
Well, my complaint was the 3D, the darkness aspect of it.
The film. That's the presentation of it.
Yeah, film wise, no. Yeah, I don't have any problems. I don't have any holes in the story. I don't have any holes in the acting. Nothing annoyed me. I give it an A.
I think that like one of the things that I like, it just like if it hadn't been charming, I think there were things that it got away with. I think the town was the most fake looking little town set I've ever seen in my life.
The budget on this movie must have been.
I know. It was just like, here's eight buildings in the desert.
Yeah.
More fake than the Blazing Saddles town they used to fake the bad guys with.
Well, that's supposed to be fake. I think in the beginning, I was looking at this triumvirate of Stellan Skarsgård, Kat Denning, and Academy Award winner Natalie Portman, and they're just driving around together. And I'm like, this seems kind of weird. Like, it just seemed kind of silly for sort of like actors of that caliber to just sort of go from place to place and exchange some quips and then go to another place. And it was just kind of weird until they had something to do later.
Wow, you really don't like fun.
No, they
were funny.
Yeah, I loved that. I loved the whatever it was.
They had a great chemistry between the three of them.
Yeah, they had a great chemistry, but I also loved the set. I love that round 50s, like whatever
that
it was.
That was weird.
It was cool. It was awesome. I thought it was really cool. But yeah, no, I mean, the town was very, very sparse. I mean, it's middle of nowhere, New Mexico, and you know, that makes some sense, but it was like, wow, it's really empty.
I think it was the same town from the movie Cars.
I thought Stan Lee had his best cameo.
Yes, I could have done without. Could have done without the JMS cameo.
It was a long one. That was an extended one.
Yeah,
that was as long as Hawkeye's cameo.
He got a comedy beat.
Yeah, and also
the redneck situation trying to pull the hammer out.
Yeah, that was funny.
Let's have a party.
Some other cameos that people might not have caught was at the very end at the big table in Asgard. Walt and Louise Simonson were at the table.
I did not see that.
Yep.
You didn't mention it.
Also in the movie was editor Ralph Macchio, but apparently you just see the back of his head. You don't actually see his face.
Still get a SAG card for that.
Yeah.
Maybe not. I don't know.
But that's cool that they got some of the classic creators in there. They didn't get Larry Lieber, though.
I think that...
I hate my brother.
I think that overall the film is very successful. I don't know how it's going to do box office-wise. The Fast Five film is a behemoth right now, but... think from a tonal standpoint, from a craft standpoint, from a film standpoint, they did a really good job of, I would say, writing the ship.
Yep.
The ship wasn't sinking, but after Hulk and Iron Man 2, it was not pushing along as quickly as it was after Iron Man.
Now, and I don't know if this is a criticism, but one thing that I did notice is that overall, it didn't feel like a film. It felt more like a comic book chapter than a film on its own. Like there was a sort of conflict that was sort of taken care of, but it was definitely like a big open door at the end, and it felt like a first chapter. Not so much a first act, because it was more than that, but it was definitely like setting a stage rather than being its own thing, which is not necessarily a bad thing, but it was a different feeling, I think, than say like an Iron Man.
I see that a little bit, but I thought there was a complete arc to the story, which was really about Thor. It was his emotional arc.
Yeah.
From the beginning jerk point to the end where he's woman's dream.
What I thought was interesting was that it was a very streamlined, clear story. And you're right. It was about Thor and Thor's maturity and also the turning of Loki.
You know, I really liked that.
Yeah, which I thought was great. But yeah, I mean, it wasn't super, super complicated, which was kind of good. You know, I was trying to wonder, though, as I was thinking about it, whether or not this is going to be as accessible as Iron Man was.
I don't know.
And I don't think so.
I think in some ways it's more accessible because it's not so superhero-y.
Yeah.
It's less superhero-y than Iron Man is.
I would like to see...
Everyone knows who Thor the God is.
Yeah, I mean, that's the funny thing, actually, because it's James at Isotope posted on his website on isotopecomics.com, like, a reaction to people saying nobody knows who Thor is. And he's like, he's been, you know, the object of legend for thousands of years.
I agree.
A lot of people know who Thor is.
Everyone knows the name Thor.
Yeah. You could do a movie about Hercules, and not everybody knows anything about it, but they would know.
Disney did a movie about Hercules.
There you go. But it's the same kind of thing is what I'm saying.
Josh, what were you about to say?
I would like to see a deleted scene of Thor's night out drinking.
Yes.
I want to see, they cut away from it. It was fun for that, but I think that a lot of good stuff could be in there.
That was funny too. There's a lot of consistently funny character stuff going on.
I think that was one of those things about with Thor being charming. Like, he's a guy I want to go out and have a beer with.
Yep.
And he can hold his own because he is a god.
Already, you know, so the budget of this movie was $150 million, and internationally it's made $125 so far. So
tack on another $100 for marketing.
But I mean,
that's DVD sales in the first week.
Yeah.
I think it'll be successful. I really do. I think it's too much fun to not be.
Yeah. It's not going to be Iron Man successful.
No, and I don't think it will. And all the tracking, all the Hollywood tracking that I've read so far says it's not going to be. I think they're guessing it's going to, domestically, it's going to do about like $180 million.
That'd be a failure if it was.
No, not at all.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's a lot of money.
Say domestically plus the 100.
They're comparing that to Iron Man's 220.
Yeah, I think it's low. I think that's low. But we'll see. I think momentum is building now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that was a key indicator that people are coming out strong for it. I think I saw on Rotten Tomatoes as of yesterday, it was 92% or something like that.
Yeah, it's ridiculously high. Yeah, great. Yeah, it's just insane. But I hope it does great. I mean, because if this does great, then that means you know we tack on another two movies after Avengers. You know, like that sort of thing. Like I want to see another Thor movie. I honestly do.
And the better the movies do, quite honestly, the more resources they're going to put into the comics.
Yeah, exactly.
Really, that's the reality of the situation.
Yeah. So. Cool.
And now the worried feeling switches over to Captain America.
No, it switches over to X-Men for me.
Well, it's not. I'm not talking about in this continuing story that's happening.
Oh, right. Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
So
yeah.
Now the next chapter is Captain America, and we get to worry if people will embrace the World War II superhero.
I think they will. I think that it's a no-brainer. I think they have to. It's Captain America. It doesn't get any more American than that.
Does the killing of Osama bin Laden make Captain America more appealing? People more like USA?
Maybe.
It might be. I don't know.
Who knows?
that was maybe too deep. Apple pie and shooting off fireworks while he's fighting Nazis. Was that
that'd be brilliant.
They should give out bottle rockets in the theater.
That's not a good idea.
It's not. No.
So to recap it, Connor and I give it glowing.
I loved it. I absolutely had. I had so much fun.
So A plus or an A?
I'm gonna give it a strong A. I want to see it another time.
Yeah. So do I. So and strong A. And so Josh gives it like a C minus.
I said like a B plus, but like I said, the further I got away from it, the more that I thought about it, the more that I liked it. It got stronger in sort of thinking about it afterwards, as opposed to when you think about it afterwards, you start poking more holes in it.
Do you want to see it again?
Yeah, but I would probably wait until I saw it at home on glorious 2D.
Oh, I mean like on your TV?
Yeah.
Oh, wow, you really don't like going out.
It's expensive. You gotta get a babysitter. It's a whole thing.
I do really want to see it in 2D now. I want to try to make my next viewing to see the difference. Because
good luck finding it.
That's the problem. They're making it really hard. Yeah. The only time I really did notice it detrimentally was the first action scene. But after that, I didn't notice it affecting it either way. But then again, maybe it was. I just didn't realize it until I see it in 2D.
Yeah. Maybe it would be awesome if it was.
It'll be some 2D. Other kind of movie I've never seen before once in 2D. Or maybe the Infinity Gauntlet will be there right in the plain sight. And I just were like, what happened? Where was it?
It's right next to the Eye of Agamotto.
It was so in 3D that it was past my head and I couldn't see it. I don't think it works like that.
All right. Yeah. So next up is X-Men early June. So that's going to be our next movie to tackle in terms of how Josh can poke holes in it and how Connor and I can enjoy it.
I think he might be more excited than any of us for that one.
I really like that trailer.
It looks great. Oh, God.
I'm not going to be the one poking holes in that one. Captain X-Men continuity over there is.
It's true.
Well, but the thing is, I accept the
sure you do.
The liberty they take with it.
Sure you do.
Yeah. No, I do. The movies, you can't, whatever. Anyway. So, okay, cool. So go to ifanboy.com. We're going to have a whole post about the movie. Want to hear what everybody thinks about it.
I'm excited. I think there's a lot of goodwill around this film, so that's always a good thing. People enjoy the film. It's always much better.
Yep. Make sure to check out the video show we did just this week, too, talking about Thor and some Thor artists and that Simonson book.
Yeah. Oh. So good.
Thor comics. So until next time.
Yep. Enjoy. For Asgard.
For Asgard.
Verily.
Forsooth? Not forsooth. That's not right.
For that. Sue?
Who's Sue? That's a boy. The boy knows the mountain ride high, enchantress is here.